105.7 KOZZ Reno's Classic Rock. I'm talking to Don Barnes, 38 Special. It's going to be this Friday night. What a good time. It's going to be Carson Valley Inn down in Minden and TJ's Corral, sweet little amphitheater. I've seen many a show down there. Don, let's talk about this long-lost album that resurfaced, and it's really good. You've been selling them at the shows, and you've been doing a couple of songs. Ride the Storm.
Yeah, it was a solo album. A&M Records had given me the opportunity years ago, a couple decades ago, to record a solo album with anybody that I wanted to play on. I could pick the best musicians in the world, people who I was fans with. And so I always loved Jeff Beccaro, the groove he played in Bantoto, the great groove drummer, world famous. His brother Mike was just a titan in the
solid.
The Picaro brothers themselves, they go way back with their father, Joe Picaro, and they played with Gary Wright, and they did all all these things. But it's funny, I just mentioned that we opened for Frampton in 77 or something, 78, and that's weird. I just realized that Jeff Picaro and Mike Picaro were playing with Gary Wright. Gary Wright was the middle act there. We have a three-act show. We were the opener, and Gary Wright, Love my Love is Alive.
Love is Alive, act Spooky Tooth guy.
Spooky Tooth, And that's weird. It just struck me that here I was, a young kid, looking at my idols, and years later, they played on my solo album. How weird is that?
And then a couple years later, we lost Jeff for a heart attack after he'd been gardening, and we lost Mike with Lou Gehrig's disease, so we've lost the both of them, and then here, all of a sudden, they come back to life on your album, Don Barnes, Ride the Storm, which everybody pick one of these up at the show, because now this, on A&M gets sold, and then you start just like tossing things off to here and there, and there's no way for you to get your work or your music or your album, because it's been sold.
Yeah, it was, they had paid, the record company paid for recording and all the mixing and mastering and all. They paid for all this. So they basically own that property. You're the artist doing it, but it's their property because they put up $200,000 or something to have it done. And so once it was finally finished, ready to go, A&M got sold to PolyGram Records for like $1 billion or something.
Yep.
So every artist that year that had a project ready to come out, it was all put on the shelf. Everything was shuffled out. They took it all as it were. Janet Jackson suffered that too. She had one coming out, an A&M artist. Several people. So you're kind of in limbo. You're stuck in a weird place because it does belong to them, but at the same time you feel like it's yours.
Right.
It's your work. It's your sweat and blood there on there. And so we tried to buy the masters, and they weren't in the business of, they're all about acquisitions and all that kind of thing. They're not really willing to sell masters out. So our hands were tied. So over the years, we did searches through. Universal ended up owning A&M Records. And so a guy from Australia, Andrew McNeese from Melodic Rock Records, he contacted me. He said some of the songs had leaked out online and people had commented on them. And he said, we got to put this record out. We got to get this thing together. And I said, you know what? Don't bother, because we've already tried to get the masters and all. He said, well, I know someone through Universal, and I'll have them do it. Anyway, long story short, they did three searches for these masters, and you would think that someone was keeping them in a climate-controlled vault or something, No, they had just thrown away everything. They threw away all the projects, from that year. They were trash. They were, they couldn't have, they didn't have them. So I was left with the only two-track mixes that I had at my house here, and so we took it and mastered it and put it together, put nice pictures, nice artwork together. And so now what started out in Los Angeles is now an import. It went through Australia.
Wow.
And the ironic thing about the whole thing, Max, at the end, is we got 5 stars across the world, Japan, and UK, and Germany.
It's a good record.
Everybody, people have, every comment has been stellar, you know, so
there's
there you go.
There's a Toto influence in the 38 special. Now, also, you do one song you do during the show, Ride the Storm, which is epic. He's got the Don Barnes rock riffs, which, you know, everybody learns the same chords. Don Barnes take those chords and makes them 38 special riffs. Also, you do Chicago's Feeling Stronger Every Day. You know, that was a band that, you know, my mom loved Chicago, so I was never big on them. But you take this song, Feeling Stronger Every Day, and make it into a rock powerhouse, and you've been including that one in the set, too, as well.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that. I just thought that, you know, when I first heard it, I think it came out in 73 or something, but it was a top 10 song back then. I thought, you know, somebody should take that and make a big guitar song.
Yeah.
Because the chords kind of lent themselves to a real rock element there. So I kept that idea in the back of my mind. I thought, you know, somebody's going to steal that idea because that's just a great approach to it, just another perspective on it. So, yeah, we finally cranked it out. Jeff played on it. Mike, I mean, all these guys. That Dan Huff was just a titan in the industry now. He's a producer for Keith Urban and just huge guys, artists in Nashville. Now, he was a session guitarist back then, but just a monster guitar player. And they were all so enthusiastic about the record, and all the songs were just, first of all, they're just as relevant today as they were that many years ago.
So, yeah.
That's why people are thinking, wow, this was hidden all this time?
Yeah.
All this golden performances of these guys that didn't live to see this release and everything. So, you know, it is still has that special sound, and you know, it did go through its own storm of a sort.
Yes, it did.
After all this time.
It's so sad because A&M Records was known for many, many years as being an artist driven label, a very artist-centric label. Herb Alpert and Al Mossman started selling Tijuana Brass Records out of Al's garage, and they had a press. They were pressing up these records. They were taking them out to the grocery stores and the record stores, and that's how it all began. They were very artist-driven, artist-centric. It was all about the music. And then one day, they get sold, and well, everything is in limbo, and things get trashed, and it becomes completely not an artist. It just was just very sad.
That is right. You're absolutely correct. And that's why we signed with A&M Records. We were courted by CBS Records and I think Capitol. They had kind of a bidding war. Because at the time, there was, you know, Southern Rock was coming around. Everybody wanted their own Southern Rock band.
But we
had interviewed a lot of people. But A&M, they were artist-oriented, just what you said. They will stick with an artist. If you trip and fall the first time, they'll pick you up and give you another chance and that kind of thing, and help you with artist A&R and just trying to enhance, you know, songs and get you good material or be brutally honest with you, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But they would visit the studio and say, well, this is kind of this is an A song. This over here is kind of a B song.
want
to keep all the A songs, and that's fine. That's fine. You know, you have to have a thick skin in this business anyway.
You do.
You know, you a lot of, I've always said, and this is kind of a little discouraging, this young guys, but it's 90% failure, 10% is a success, you know, so you're taking a huge risk, and I have to say, I don't highly recommend it to someone. You're going to sacrifice everything, you know, birthdays and holidays and everything, anniversaries, because you have to be about five steps ahead of yourself, and writing your songs and being brutally honest with each other and trying to, you know, get the best thing out there, because it's a highly competitive nature of this business, you know?
And that's
the ugly business side of it. You know, the artistic part is, you can, like they say, you're only as great as people say you are.
You can be
a genius in your bedroom playing and making music and making tapes, but if nobody knows about it,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Right,
you know, you got to get all the best of your work out there.
We're talking to Don Barnes, 38 special on stage, TJ's Corral, this Friday night, Carson Valley Inn. Get your tickets at KOZZradio.com. Don, always a special moment when we can hang out. And right now, I want to play this song. This is Ride the Storm. It's 105.7 KOZZ Reno's Classic Rock.